Right. What do you call it when there's two things on either side and there's one in the middle getting turned over and over and over? What do you call it?
I think the word you're looking for is threesome.
No, I'm calling it a spit roast.
Okay.
Spit out of it.
Cool. Welcome to another episode of
Roast My Cold Call. And I tell you what, do it properly and call me scum while you do it. Am I right?
Sounds dirty. You want one?
I want one. Why don't you give me one? Give me one of those bloody calls, will you? Let's stop roasting it up. Okay.
Hello, Abby speaking.
Hello.
Hello, Abby speaking.
Abraham, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm actually cold calling you. So I don't know if that makes you want to hang up on me or let me have 30 seconds. It's up to you.
What's this regarding?
It's regarding real estate. I can run through it in 30 seconds. If you find it boring, I'll never call you again. Is that fair?
Sure. Okay. Let's hear your pitch, man.
Okay. What are you saying so far, Zaki?
I always say there's certain bits of that pattern interrupt that are open for artistic license. So I'll be honest, I'm cold calling you. I like it. I like it. It doesn't offend me. Slight ledge throw off. Ledge wasn't quite what I like to hear. Just sounded like, you know, it wasn't quite smooth, but got the end result. What are you pitching? I like it. Quite a cool, calm, collected guy. Sounds like he knows what he's doing.
The guy knows he's going into a conversation about real estate now. He's willing to hear the pitch. He's got permission. You saw a little hesitance. That's where the ledge came in, to just being firmer on that ledge. But let's continue.
I appreciate it. Well, basically, I work with realtors who, if they're honest, they're probably frustrated with new business. So they either have this feeling that they're not busy enough, they're not getting in front of enough people, or the complete opposite, where they feel like they're extremely busy, but they're just not getting in front of the right types of people. So a lot of tire kickers and people that are just simply wasting their time. But for some reason, I get this feeling you're going to tell me you have none of these issues and I'm barking at the wrong tree.
There's always space to improve, right?
Yeah,
but it's still kind of like the down season. I mean, it's leading towards the down season right now. I do have a couple of people in my pipeline, but I'm always open to new ideas.
Okay,
so what do you have?
It's a good question. I mean, I've had my 30 seconds. I'd have to ask you a few more questions just to understand your situation a bit more before I can say if I could even help. Is it okay if I ask you a few questions?
Sure.
When I said like not enough people and not the right types of people, which one stood out to you a little bit more?
Say it again.
Out of the two things that I mentioned, not enough people and not the right types of people, which one stood out to you a bit more?
I mean, the people that I get right now down my pipeline, I talk to like an average of like 30, 40 people a week, but out of those 30, 40 people a week, like whether they're random or they're people in my sphere, like, you know, they're good leads, but out of those 40, it's close to like either slim to none, usually three or four that are willing to work, but like, it's always like, you know, it's not consistent.
Okay. I just want to understand that. So on a weekly basis, you're speaking to about like 30 to 40 people. They're good leads, but three or four of them are willing. And you mentioned it's not consistent.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, to me, consistent as you mean, it's like, let me correct that. It's consistent with me getting these leads, but it's like, because the industry is very, I don't know how to say it, but like it's not a guarantee, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned like these are good leads, but only 3 to 4 of them are willing, like, what happens with the rest of the people? Like, where do essentially, like, they fall off, would you say?
Okay, should we do a little 3.5 minute check-in so far?
Yeah, let's. I mean, I'm liking it so far. I'm liking a lot of what's going on. A lot of the notes that I've written down are things that have been brought back. Problem-wise, maybe the only thing I would add, I quite like it when a script feels like the problem and how they notice it exists. I like it when a problem feels like that. So it might be meeting lots of the wrong types of people. So as a result, you're constantly in these never-ending sales cycles. There's a bit of like extra
how impact.
You
yeah,
so
yeah.
The problem, how you notice it exists, very easy then to lead in some of those qualifying points. His answer to that was down season, room to improve. There was a few bits in there to clarify.
Consistent, yeah.
Yeah, there was a few bits in there to clarify. And then I've written down exactly what he did. So he said, I get 30 to 40, what he was calling good leads a week, but then the conversion didn't add up to good leads. So he's going down the right path in challenging that. Everyone's got their own different style, right? I sometimes am a bit more punchy with that, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the way he's doing it. Maybe a bit of theatre behind that as well. It's like I'm confused. What do you mean you're confused? I've missed something. Did you say 30 to 40 good leads? So the word used was good, but then only 2 or 3. You know what I mean? Like, so you can like link it up. And if that's so confused, give it a bit of a thespian element.
I think you can hear in his tone he is trying to play the idiot, and it is coming across quite well. That's not me calling him an idiot. That's me saying he's playing the part quite well. And I liked it. It was a bit of a summary. I'm going to repeat it back to you, and then I'll take you down this idiotic path of I don't really understand what's happening to the rest. So I'll say it right here. I'm slightly pissed off. There's not much roast so far, but let's continue.
I'll just give you the gist of it. Like, I do door knock, right? I do door knock. Big neighborhoods in Vancouver, Coquitlam, and in Surrey, right? So that's how I generate my leads. It's out of my sphere.
Oh, okay. So you're door knocking, and like the people, the 3-4 people that do come in, they're willing. Like, where do you feel like the missing gap is then? Because it seems like you're getting like 3 to 4 prospects a week right now. Which I speak to realtors our day. For some realtors, that's more than enough business. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, the people that I'm generating right now, my pipeline are coming in the new year. Like right now, I basically have about 4 people that are willing to transact like right now.
Yeah, but this is also the season, right? Like, because we're in December.
Yeah, it's a slow season right now. So in terms of your service that you could provide me, like, what can you do? Like, what is it?
Yeah, it's a good question. To give you a high level view, what we do is we try to get you the right types of people in front of you at the right time. But how we do that, that's not something I can say right now, because obviously, like, I'd have to know a lot more about you in order to make that sort of connection. Have you outside of door knocking, are you doing anything else?
I mean,
pause.
What's that? I do.
Okay, what have you got for me, Joe?
I like the higher level overview. I'd probably question that. Like, he doesn't want to give him a higher level overview. I think it's good. I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. I still want a bit more clarity and a bit like there was a point where it felt like he was ready to interrupt. He was ready to go. And it's that salesperson that we have to tame within I'm the salesperson. I know the answers. I'm going to, and I know like this person is probably has a lot of knowledge from the people that they speak to in their industry, but it can always come across as salesy. Like when I'm talking to a lot of people at the moment, they're saying this, they're feeling this, like I know this. It's like you don't have to tell people you're an industry expert. You can just kind of show them with the questions that you ask, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. As the Lord Commander in the North says, you know nothing, Jon Snow. A bit to tidy up on the what do you do? That's often where a lot of these calls fall apart, right? Because when you pitch something, we think the other person hears all the great things about what we are saying. Your amygdala is wired to favor negative information. Okay, so it's constantly going through this phase of deleting, distorting, and dissecting the information that it hears, usually to end up at its most negative route. So it's not hearing all the bits that are the most relevant, it's hearing all the bits that are the least relevant. So there's a real danger when you get into pitch mode with people. Okay, so some people call it reverse questioning, some people call it a Socratic question. Whatever you want to call it, it's a nice tennis analogy, right? So they've batted a ball over to you, you're batting it back, but the game you're playing still feels like tennis. They're not suddenly going, hold on a minute, why have you thrown a rugby ball at me? What the fuck's going on? So what I mean
by
that is...
beautiful analogy.
You like that?
So, yeah, really good.
So when someone says, what is it that you do? You say, yeah, it's a good question. I appreciate we've been talking for 5 minutes. You don't even know, so thanks for your patience. Well, look... if I said I typically get invited into, and then you just hit them with what you do, which is normally the problems, don't say about your case studies, and normally invited in to do this in this way, is this the part where you tell me you've wasted 5 minutes? Or is this the part where you tell me none of those problems apply? Or more broadly, more openly, if I said we do this, what problem would you say applies the most? So it's just a nice way of just gently batting it back. The ball doesn't stay in your half for too long.
Yeah. I mean, but based on if you were in this call so far and you'd taken the steps this person had said, how big would you say the problem is right now? If we're thinking problem motivation, how big would you say that is?
The problem isn't, I couldn't tell you what the problem is. If you put a gun to me and said, what's this guy's problem? I'd be struggling. You might be shooting me. All right. Sorry about putting you on the spot like that and making you kill someone that you idolize. But yeah, I'd be pushing for a problem. And often it's about going down a much more simple path. So I think what salespeople sometimes struggle with is you can go back and say, okay, I'm sort of understanding. I'm still not 100% clear. Out of 1, 2, 3, which problem would you say fits into what you've told me so far?
Sure. It's always taking it back to that problem. If you don't have a problem, why are we moving forward? Let's continue.
Beautiful.
I do interact in other groups that I'm affiliated with. Yeah. Right. And that basically within my sphere. Basically, the way I generate leads is people within my sphere, and I door knock, and pretty much that's it.
Yeah, and you've never tried anything else before.
Yeah, let me guess. Are you a lead generating system, or what company do you guys work for?
Work for Listing Link Media. I mean, lead generation is a part of what we do, but again, like I'm not gonna sit here and tell you I'm going to get you 50,000 leads in the next 5 days, or you don't pay. I don't know what a good lead looks like.
We'd be thinking the same thing. Let's
you
see.
Go first.
Wandering into being avoidant.
Mm.
Getting into a phase where he's doubling down and trying to find out a good few times what it is that he does. He's not happy with what he's heard so far. Sounds like he's in Canada, so maybe fitting a Canadian stereotype of being a very nice man, so quite happy to just not challenge you on that. People will get annoyed and suddenly be like, look mate, just tell me what it is that you do. Now
people
the other
always...
thing... sorry Jack, go on mate, interrupt you there.
No, please continue.
Well, I just want to change subjects slightly. So do you want to talk about that before I do?
No, it's over. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay. The other thing is he's going down a path of, here's what I do at the minute. There's no glaring problem. And he's going down the path of, have you tried anything else? Again, which I think has already been asked.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to do with a problem is you don't know how bad you want something, so you've had to defend it a little bit, okay? So the best thing to do is to say to someone, okay, so it sounds like that's worked really well. Why don't you just keep doing that?
Mm.
And what's going to happen there?
I believe it'll get defensive, and then you'll start to see some kind of emotion, and then you're probably a little bit further along the line. I think, tell me if I'm wrong here, but the words I took was, let me guess, you're a lead generation company. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I think the tone behind it, and this is where like your EQ and your level three listening is so important. Like what's being said, but what's also not being said. Let me, and we think about tone and like body language. We could see his body language, we'd probably have a better read. But let me guess, you're a lead generation company. Does that sound positive or negative to you?
It sounds negativo.
Mm. So there's probably some questioning around that, but the way we went into the answer was kind of a lead generation company, but I'm going to avoid that question. Whereas maybe we wanted to pick apart why the negativity.
And let's say for a moment, it was a tag team cold calling match. And when that guy said, let me guess, you're a lead generation. You're a lead generation. You do lead generation. You tagged in Chris Voss into that call. What technique would Chris Voss use in that moment?
I think he'd be hitting you with a hard label.
Yes, I agree.
Sounds like you've been swallowed by a lead generation company in the past. Something like that.
Exactly. Swallowed by a lead generation company. Exactly.
Onward.
Like for you, I don't even know if that's what you're looking for, but that's like lead generation is a part of what we do.
Okay, so.
And he's left it silent. Like, you want to be asking questions.
Like what kind of like? I know, like you're trying to give me a pitch right now, but right now I'm not getting sold on your pitch, man. You gotta give me some details here.
What do you mean? Like I'm not trying to sell you right now. I'm trying to figure out if there's something here. I mean, that's all I'm trying to figure out. I can tell you.
He's come back to bite him on the ass.
But
yeah,
it's just like,
it's like I know, you know, stuff.
I honestly, I don't know how it would help yet. Is that a reasonable way to think?
If you don't know how it's gonna help me, then what's the purpose of this call?
It's to figure out if you have problems.
Why, okay. Can I just go back there? Because when things fuck up, we've always got to go upstream. And yeah, we spoke about the avoidancy. And I think it's probably a good thing to say, or a good, like just so people listening or watching this are aware, we don't listen to the calls before we come into them. And no. This is just straight in cold listening.
I could matches sense the cold calling. He avoided it too many times. And the guy was just starting to get, and he's Canadian. Politeness was just running out.
Just wearing thin. But did you not see like the way it ended? He said something. There was no follow-up question. It was just left like that. And it was like, cool. And it gave him the opportunity to take control. And what did he do? He took control and he got pissed off.
There's a salvation moment as well. He could have done something to save it. But he went in a confrontational force came forward and he met it with a confrontational force with objections and challenges, things that come up in the call that are not favorable. What is the thing we should always do first, Jack?
Accept him. Accept him like a long lost son.
Accept him. I'm not really sold on your pitch. What would you say, Jack?
I'd say like, oh, it's absolutely. It sounds like I've messed it up. And even if I called you and I nailed it, you probably wouldn't be of interest anyway.
Exactly. Or you just lean into it and you say, you know what? I was getting the same feeling. I was getting the exact same feeling that I was messing this up. So Let's go back. Okay. So look, if I said I was, and then we just get back into answering that question properly, we can go back sometimes. It's not too late. But what he's kind of gone with is a bit of a like, I know this guy is, he can take it. I've said worse things to him. It's a little bit arrogant.
Fair. Hey, it's roast my cocoa. There's got to be some burns in there. 2 minutes. Should we see how it ends?
I want to see how it ends, and I want to see how it ends. So can you help me with both of those things?
As we can fix, is to figure out if there's something here, is to figure out if you've already tried something like this before, different things like that. Like, and if you're open to a conversation.
You're telling me if I've tried something like this, but you're not even explaining to me what I haven't tried. So what is it? Like, tell me what's your proposition? What is your service? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so we do like advertising, and then we pretty much, any sort of leads that come in, we try to filter out all the ones that are going to be time wasters for you and give you like the golden nuggets. But like that qualification process is obviously different from realtor to realtor. You get what I'm trying to say? Like,
okay, I'm going to give people a little tip here on this moment. And this is another tool that you can try. I've been thinking about this long and hard. There's something called an IKEA curve, right? Which is, the thing people like about IKEA is they feel like, because they were part of the building process, that they were probably slightly more involved than they actually were. Yeah? If you've got IKEA furniture at home that you built yourself, often there's a bit of pride attached to it, even though it came with instructions and was actually put together by someone else, right? So when someone asks what it is that you did, just doubles down like that, there's an argument to be made that we should build this together, you and the customer, because you can use it as a qualifying funnel, right? So you can say, okay, well, look, we can probably help each other to understand this. I just want to make sure I'm getting it exactly into your world, right? So have you ever noticed that working in X space often has this problem? Yes. Okay. And typically when people have got that problem, they tend to struggle with this. But you might tell me you don't struggle with that bit. No, I struggle with that bit. Okay. And normally when you're struggling with that bit, so almost what you're doing is you're going through. Have you ever noticed this problem? Yeah. Have you ever noticed that when you have this problem, here's some examples of how it can look? Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that when you have them, here's some impacts that can happen on your day and on the business? Yeah. And have you noticed that when you try and fix it, you can't because of, yeah, okay, I noticed a bit of that. So you're starting to lead someone down a path where they tick off each bit. It's not the thing that I lean on first and that I go for straight away. But when you're at this point where it's like, look, just tell me what you do, and you're going to lose them when you start pitching, why not work something out where you just build it together?
Mm.
And then when you've done all that, and you're like, okay, and if now that I've said all this, if I said that's what we do, and we do it through, what's he saying? If we do it through marketing, is this the part where you tell me you're not interested, or would you have more questions? You know, give some options, but make it feel like you've built it together.
1,000,000%. And then the cold caller fell into a bad trap. It's that all the way through, they're doing the things that a right salesperson should do. Like there's upfront contracts and there's questions and they're trying to understand, and then they fall into it and they're like, you know what? I'm on the back foot now. And I could feel like the pressure. People flap under pressure, and then saying things like golden nuggets, things like that are going to make you stand out as salesy and maybe a little bit needy. And it's a cereal in the UK and maybe the USA, probably not Canada. Let's see. We've got 1 minute left. Let's see what happens with this.
You might want like us to find out what's their motivation to buy. You might want us to find out like, you know, what time frame they're looking at. Whatever the case may be, but for another realtor, they might just be looking for a name or phone number, and they just want to like run through as many people as possible. So that's where it really depends.
Okay, so what's the cost of it then?
It's about $3,000 upfront, and then $50 a day.
$3,000. So what's that gonna get?
You sound sad now.
You're looking at about 5 to 7 appointments a month.
Five to seven appointments a month.
But then again, I can't promise you that yet. I don't know enough about you. But that's typically on average what people see.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, man, I think I'm going to save both their times right now. I don't think it's going to work then.
That's fair. Appreciate your time.
All right, dude. Thank you.
Oh, they felt it. They felt it, didn't they? They roasted themselves in that cold call.
They roasted themselves. All right, Jack, what have you got for me?
They gave up. I think that's fair to say. Like, they gave up in their tonality. They didn't sound there. Like we allow. Okay, so if I say, yeah, this is how we do it, bang, I'm giving the control to you to come back at me, and you're going to ask me some big, challenging questions. And what did he ask? How much is it? And we're not afraid of price. We're not afraid of budget. We're not afraid of those conversations.
Never.
But you've fallen into it, and that really you're having a conversation about, like, well, it costs this much to get your car fixed. Guess what, love? My car's not broken. So it's that kind of conversation that, well, my car's not broken, so I'm not gonna waste your time. I'm not gonna bring it into the garage because there's no problem and there's no motivation. It's like if he'd said £50 for 100 leads, you might be like, oh, it's worth a punt. But then that's not selling. That's just, well, there you go. It sounds too good to be true. Bit of a bargain. But I think they gave up. I think they didn't bat it back enough, like tennis. There wasn't enough challenging, and just fell into salesperson too much at different points of the call. Is that fair to say?
100%. You're right. You can't deliver a price with no problem. Like, the price of what? It doesn't make any sense to be given the price at that point. Also, if you were in a position where you can deliver price, you shouldn't deliver it like that. And we can maybe talk about that on another video, but there is a method to delivering price, and that isn't the right way of doing it. So, first part of the call, if you were to rate it out of 10?
First part, I was impressed. I'd say like an 8 or a 9.
Okay. Last part of the call, the last half.
I think if they listened back to it, they wouldn't be impressed with it. I think they just lost interest, and they probably just thought, you know what, this guy's giving it a bit too much. I can't be arsed. On to the next. Maybe a 3 or 4.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. Okay. All right. Well, look, that's Roast My Cold Call.
That's Roast My Cold Call.
I've been Jack Thompson.
And this is I've been Zach Frimpson.